Chapter 8. The late summer sun pounded the street as Nevaeh headed out to Bluford's track early the next morning. If she was going to try out for cross country and face all the rumors, doubts, and gossip, Nevaeh knew she had to get ready. She hoped to complete a workout before anyone else arrived at the school. But as she ducked under the bulky padlocked chains at Bluford's track entrance, she spotted a familiar figure in a hoodie trudging around by himself. Kareem. His head was down, and Nevaeh hoped he hadn't seen her. She quickly turned to leave when she heard his voice call out. Nevaeh, wait, hold up. A tremor of anger rippled through her as he trotted over. She recalled how he had responded to her news that Mom was in the hospital. Might be true, he had said, as if she could lie about such a thing. The memory made Nevaeh want to rip Bluford's gate wide open. But Kareem smiled as if nothing had happened, as if there had never been a race she missed. What is it, Kareem? Nevaeh grunted impatiently, fighting the urge to walk away. The smile slid off his face. Where have you been? I ain't talked to you in like forever. You mean since the day of the race? Nevaeh snapped. You got something you want to ask me since you don't know what might be true? Or are you just like everyone who called me a liar? Kareem frowned. Hey, I'm nothing like those people. I know they ain't been nice. Nice? Nevaeh shouted. They're mean and messed up, and all they do is lie. What I said was true. My mom's got cancer, and that morning I was at the hospital with her. Did you actually think I'd lie about that? No. I mean, he stammered. I just remembered your mom was like some super athlete or whatever, and you never mentioned her being sick before, so I wasn't sure. You weren't sure? Nevaeh almost spat the words. So why didn't you ask me? I've tried for weeks. You ghosted me ever since. What about that morning? Nevaeh fumed, ignoring him. Instead of asking me, you posted how what I said might be true. Might be. Like I could lie about what my poor mom is going through, she groaned. I'm not surprised Jonique would say that, but you? I can't. Nevaeh's voice cracked and she turned away. Kareem reached for her arm. Aw, man, he breathed. Nevaeh, I totally messed up, okay? I know you're better than that. The whole thing got crazy and everyone was saying dumb stuff. You know how it is on social media sometimes, he said, shaking his head. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know exactly how it is. Nevaeh headed toward the track gate. Wait, I'll tell him all the truth right now, Kareem offered, grabbing his phone. No, Nevaeh insisted. I'm over it, and I'm done with those girls. I'm focused on cross country right now, and I don't need you or anyone talking about me again. Just drop it, okay? Nevaeh ducked under the chain and ran off, never looking back. The summer rushed by. Nevaeh ran almost every day, sometimes at Baldwin Hill, and sometimes in a loop she and Mom created that circled behind Bluford High to nearby East Park and then back home. Despite the heat and a few days in which distant wildfires filled the air with a hazy smoke, Nevaeh grew stronger as the weeks passed. Mom had been training too, Nevaeh noticed. She now skillfully used the walker to move herself from room to room without too much trouble. She also drank protein drinks regularly and took her medicines without protest, and she even chatted with Nevaeh about running tips and strategies. But instead of getting better, she seemed to be slowly weakening. The time each day in which she was out of bed and had energy to talk was diminishing, and her appetite had not returned. Dad made sure that Christian spent his days in summer camp at Little Learning Spot, and the hospital had arranged for a private duty nurse, Maddie Wills, to check on Mom twice a week. Time passed, and the visits helped, but nothing increased Mom's energy. Noticing how exhausted Mom was, Dad pulled the wheelchair from the closet and parked it in the living room where she could reach it. "Amaya, maybe we should," he began softly, but Mom shook her head. "No. I'm taking Nevaeh to tryouts, and I don't need no wheelchair to do it," Mom insisted. "Bad enough that I have to use this thing," she said, glaring at the walker. Dad eyed Nevaeh, but no one said anything until Christian spoke up. "It's okay, Mom," he said encouragingly. "I can help you. I'll push you wherever you want to go." "Thank you, baby," Mom said, giving him a hug, her eyes glistening slightly. "But I'm not there yet." A few days before tryouts, Mom told Nurse Wills that her back was sore. The nurse gave her an extra painkiller that seemed to relieve the pain, but Mom slipped into an unusually deep sleep on the living room sofa at dinner time. Watching her chest rise and fall, Nevaeh was struck by how small she had become. Once broad-shouldered and strong, she had withered over the summer. "I don't know about tryouts, Nevaeh," Dad said, seeming to read her thoughts. Where Mom lost weight, he had gained it. His face was now gray and doughy, and his uniform shirts often looked tight and uncomfortable, as if he were storing stress and worry inside them. "Your running has been great for her, and I know she really wants to be there for you. But she's really struggling now," he explained. "We'll get results from Mom's tests soon to see if these treatments are helping, but I can't see how she can leave the house like this, baby." Nevaeh couldn't argue. She always knew of the possibility that Mom would be unable to join her on Baldwin Hill, but she had held out hope that Mom would rally, that the medicine would work, and her appetite would return, that they would get ice cream at Scoops again like they used to in summertime. But none of it happened. "Feel better, Mom," Nevaeh whispered, as Dad finished the dinner dishes before picking up another night shift. Mom snored lightly, but otherwise didn't seem to move or budge. Nevaeh shuddered at her stillness. Even Christian seemed to notice. He sat on the floor playing Minecraft with his earbuds in, but stopped several times to look at her. "Is Mom gonna be okay?" he asked finally. His eyes glistened in the blue glare of the TV screen. "Yeah, she's just sleeping," Nevaeh said, joining him on the floor. "That's all she does anymore," he said, fidgeting with the controller. "I miss her." "Me too," she replied. Nevaeh recognized Crevaeh, their old world in Minecraft on the TV screen. The land had been changed dramatically since the last time she had seen it. The rolling green orchards that they once crafted together were gone. Roads that used to connect their two kingdoms had vanished, buried under high stone walls that towered over the countryside. Behind the walls, in a lonely corner, stood Christian's small house, the same one he had built when they used to play together. Only now, it was encircled by a ring of fire. "What happened to our world, Chris?" Nevaeh asked, feeling a pang of guilt. She knew it took him many hours to make these changes, perhaps longer. Yet she had not even noticed him doing it. She realized she could not remember the last time she sat with him and gave him undivided attention. "Why all these walls and fires?" "That's to keep out the sickness," he explained, his words making her wince. "And the creepers and stuff, too." Watching him, Nevaeh could see that Mom's illness had been stressing him, too, though he had hidden it. She cursed herself for not noticing sooner. Then she grabbed the other remote and sat down next to him. Christian had left a tiny part of her side of Crevaeh unchanged. Starting at her cottage, she added a walking path that matched the color of Bluford's track. She snaked it through a nearby forest, around a pond, and up to the base of a mountain, just like her running path at Baldwin Hill. She then carved a tunnel through the mountains. She continued the path on the other side installing hidden steps that climbed his walls so the path led directly from her cottage to his. "What's that?" he asked, studying it carefully. "It's a secret running path that connects me and you," she said proudly, rubbing the back of his head. "This way, we can always find each other no matter what. Got it?" Christian didn't say anything, but Nevaeh noticed that for the rest of the night, he didn't destroy her pathway. And later, his eyes growing heavy, he added torches along the path she had created. "That's so we can see in the dark," he explained, giving her a little hug as he went to bed. The night before tryouts, Nevaeh couldn't sleep. Anxious and fidgety, she organized her room and watched animal videos on YouTube until even they began to bore her. Yet she still could not relax. Finally, in the lonely dark, well past midnight, she reinstalled the apps she had deleted weeks ago. Notifications from Snapchat, Instagram, and TikTok flashed on her phone along with a flood of direct messages that she had never read. The latest one was from Kareem, from 2 days ago. "Hope you're good. Just wanted you to know Jonique is going out for cross country. You get a rematch. You got this." 3 lightning emojis. An electric jolt of adrenaline surged through Nevaeh's body. "What?" she exclaimed, sitting up in her bed. Tryouts at Baldwin Hill already loomed over her, but with Jonique going out for the team, the stakes were higher. The hype in school, the trash talking, the comments on social media, and all the drama. She knew it would spark like wildfire at tryouts. There was no way to stop it. Nevaeh reread Kareem's message and noticed there were others he had sent that she had never seen. "Where you at?" said one on the morning of the race. "You okay?" Later, he had sent an apology for doubting her. Then, one of his friends at school, Lionel Shepherd, sent a screenshot that showed Kareem defending her in a chat where someone had called her a liar and a coward. "He got your back," Lionel had written. The images showed Kareem sticking up for her. "Nah, she ain't like that. Don't hate," he said this more than once. She noticed a few of his posts were followed by mean comments from some of Jonique's friends. Nevaeh thanked Lionel and realized she had been wrong to shut out Kareem all summer. She noticed a final unread message from him last week included a photo on Instagram from Bluford's football team. It featured several older students she recognized from school: Cooper Hodden, Roylan Bailey, Hakeem Randall. But on the near side in the second row stood Kareem smiling proudly. "Congratulations to our new varsity team," the post read. He had made it. Pride surged through her heart. She knew he had worked hard all summer, maybe harder than any student she knew. "See what Baldwin Hill did for me? You too? You got this." 3 lightning emojis, he commented in the note to her. She left a heart emoji on his football post and then answered all his DMs. "Congratulations on varsity." Cheer emoji, hand clap emoji. Then she added, "Sorry, been offline for a while." And a second later, "Thanks for having my back. Wish me luck tomorrow or later today." Grimace emoji. She hit send and stared at the phone, hoping for an answer, but it was after 2 a.m., and for once, Kareem was not there. Beep, beep, beep. The blaring of Nevaeh's alarm jerked her awake from a black, dreamless sleep. She glanced at the screen. It was 6:45 a.m. She had slept for only a few hours, and it felt like even less. Still, she wanted to get to Baldwin Hill early to warm up, just like Mom had coached her. And now, Jonique would be there. She still couldn't believe it. Nevaeh hurried to the bathroom to wash and then slipped on her shorts and t-shirt, taking extra care to lace and tie her sneakers. Would Mom be coming? Nevaeh hoped so, especially now that the race had become personal. She crept to the door and knocked lightly. "Mom?" she called, but no reply came. "You up?" Nevaeh opened the door slightly. She hoped to find her mother sitting on the side of the bed, trying to muster the strength to reach for the walker. But instead, she was sound asleep. "Mom?" A tiny flinch shook the blankets as Nevaeh approached the bed. Fluffy wisps of hair peeked out from under Mom's scarf. Yet she seemed smaller than ever, as if she had shrunk overnight. Nevaeh gazed down at her sleeping mother. Without an alarm to wake her, she seemed to have forgotten completely about the tryouts. Even if she had gotten up, what could she do in her condition? Everything Nevaeh had read about pancreatic cancer seemed to be unfolding no matter how hard Mom fought. "It's not fair." Nevaeh's thoughts stormed in her head as she sat on the edge of the mattress in the heavy morning quiet. For a moment, Mom half opened her eyes and gazed at Nevaeh as if she didn't know who she was. "Oh," she breathed. "Oh, hey, baby. I'm so tired. What time is it?" Tears tried to gather in Nevaeh's eyes, but she willed them back. Mom shouldn't go anywhere. Nevaeh could see that. "It's really early, Mama. You rest," she said. Mom nodded and closed her eyes. Part of Nevaeh wanted to skip the tryouts, lie down next to her, and cry. But a bigger part felt ready to run harder than she ever had. She would run for both of them. "I'ma do this, Mama," she whispered. "Jonique's gonna be there too." Mom's brows stirred slightly as Nevaeh kissed her cheek, soft as old paper, and walked out.